I am here today, have the pleasure of bringing on Colonel Andrew Clark. He's the commander at Beale Air Force Base. How you doing, Andy?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
Thank you for joining me. And Veterans Day weekend coming up. Big plans. What do you do? What does a guy like you do on Veterans Day?
Oh, on Veterans Day this year, going hunting, actually. Heading out to South Dakota to do a little deer hunting.
Okay. Yeah. So, good. You get a little time off, and you're taking a little time off here to hang out with Mark Haney on the Mark Haney Show. And we've been talking a little bit about getting known and how helpful that can be in business. But I think getting known and getting recognized, it's important no matter what we're doing. Am I right?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you get known? Obviously, you run all of the base there, right? It's 7,000 plus employees.
Yeah, 7,000 airmen, civilian contract and blue suit, as we call them, uniformed airmen up at Beale.
Wow. Wow. Incredible amount of responsibility. A guy doesn't just get handed that by accident. What happened? How did you get yourself known along the way? How did you get recognized?
Well, that's a good question. I ask that myself sometimes. 22, going on 23 years in the Air Force. I've been associated with Beale Air Force Base since about 2004. In the mission we have up there, one of the missions is reconnaissance on mm-hmm. the active duty side. I've been in that community for a while. I've had the opportunity to command at different levels as an operations officer, which is second in command, mm-hmm. as a squadron commander in that. And I've had the experience in all these different locations around the world that give me the perspective perspective on what we do and why we do it in all these disparate places. And the timing is right.
You must have gotten recognized. Tell us about a time where you had some success and you got recognized that was memorable, and maybe what you might have learned from that event.
I would say perhaps squadron commander selection. Okay. When you're a young lieutenant colonel, so you've been in the Air Force about 16, 17 years at that point, you've proven yourself from an operational perspective. You know, for me, it's as a pilot. Mm-hmm. Flying the U-2, flying the AC-130 back in the day and that. But having that experience and demonstrating your ability to execute the mission side of it, once you do that, they're looking at you for that leadership role. You know, okay. Can you fulfill that? Can you set that goal? Can you define where the organization needs to go and what the best way forward is? And if you've demonstrated that on a level that is visible to senior leadership, mm-hmm. They see that, and they're looking for people that can do that effectively.
Well, I wondered, like, on something like that, you have this, you're obviously a super humble person, and I think we all respect you know, your humble demeanor, but I think in order to win, you have to stand out. It helps if you're first in your class. It helps if you do something remarkable, and pretty soon you get known as something. I mean, we all have a personality of sorts. I get known for having too much energy, right? I'm like the energetic radio guy that's all about entrepreneurship. But, like, what are you known for? How do you think people think of you, and how did you develop your image and reputation?
I think, as I've grown up, humbleness is one. I think that's an effective trait of leadership, right? Your ability to understand the situation around you, don't let it go to your head, mm-hmm. To execute that way, and then having that personality that goes along with that, being able to kind of enable your own vision and get that across to other people. Without making it seem like it's your vision, it's our vision, ours. It's our way forward,
yeah.
And giving them the connectivity to that mission set, to that goal, and having buy-in from them, and I think I've been pretty effective at doing that in the past because I realize it's not me that's leading this organization; it's everybody leading this organization to where it needs to go, and being able to relate that to folks that they're piece of that, they own that, mm-hmm. right. And I think I've been successful at being able to get people into the mission set and into what we're trying to do.
How do you do that with 7,000 people? That's internally, 7,000 people. Now, there's external people, too. We could talk about that a little bit. But from an internal standpoint, you're the manager of 7,000-plus people. How do you communicate that? How do you basically help them understand and get clarity around all that?
Well, it's easy. It's trust and empowerment, right? The same processes that have gotten me to this position have gotten a lot of the folks that are younger than me and moving up through the ranks in the same position. So I understand they probably know how to do their job better mm-hmm. than I do.
Yeah.
So you give them the tools to do the job. You set the environment, the atmosphere that they can perform at a very high level, and then you step back and let them do it. And 99 times out of 100, they're going to knock it out of the park. Yeah. Those other times when they don't, you got to inject yourself into the situation. You make a course correction, give them a little guidance, and get them pointed in the right direction.
Well, I kind of wonder that. What's that look like when you have to do that? What does that look like when you have to do a course correction? You got to dive in. Is that like I know in business there's certain like things you can't do. I'm imagining in the military you have more latitude. Talk to us about what like, course correction might look like in the military.
Well, it all depends on the level, right?
Okay.
If it's a young airman, you know, it's a hey. Your hat's on crooked. Let's correct, fix your hat.
Yeah.
And if it's a colonel or a lieutenant colonel or a commander of a unit, what are you doing? Why are we doing that? Why are you having your people do X, Y, and Z? I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to fit with what we're trying to do here. So every level, if you can apply that kind of lens and look through it and say, hey, do I understand what they're doing? I might not, and they might be doing the right thing, but I need to know where they're going to be able to make that judgment. So it's an ability to evaluate what folks are doing, whether that comports with what we're trying to do as an organization. You know, in our case, it's Beale, but I imagine that applies to any business, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're describing it the way I would hear it in any business, but I have to, you know, I talked to my son as a civilian here, where it's Veterans Day weekend. We're celebrating what you guys do for our country, the freedom. But I often, you know, get the stories from Marcus about there's stuff like butt chewing, and I mean, there is super harsh stuff that happens. He was in the Marine Corps. How much different is it in the Air Force?
Oh, there's butt chewing on occasion. It is the military.
It gets pretty hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely. We call that wall-to-wall counseling.
Wall-to-wall.
It all depends on the situation, you know, and what do folks respond to. Some folks respond well to a good butt chewing.
Yeah.
Some don't respond as well. So, you know, that's another facet of leadership within an organization is understanding what motivates people and what's going to make that course correction and put them and steer them in the right direction.
Well, you're a family guy. I know you're taking time out today with us. You brought your wife down. Kids are not here, but just thinking about how are you known around the family? Are you known as Dad, the hard ass, or is it more like Dad? He's so soft spoken. What a nice guy. I mean, you don't get to be running 7,000 airmen by being milquetoast.
No, my wife's shaking her head in the back when you said hard ass. No, I think it's.
I don't even know if I could say that on the radio, but here I never said that on the radio, but here I go.
I said it
hopefully
with you. So
okay,
we're good.
All right.
No, I would say I'm a softie when it comes to my family. Around the base, I think it's balanced, right? I tend to be very approachable. Because I think that's how you get folks to open up to you and to be honest with you, and that's how you are able to facilitate direction changes and counseling, as it were. But so just balanced, I think, is the best way to put it.
Okay, so in your role at Beale, you're here today, and we're talking out to the Sacramento community, you know, the greater Sacramento community. I mean, what image should we have around Beale in terms of communicating the vision and communicating what you guys are all about? What do you want us to know about you?
So about Beale. So Beale is an incredible jewel in Northern California that a lot of folks, frankly, don't even know about, even right here in Roseville, Rockland, and the Sacramento area. On the active duty side, the 9th Reconnaissance Wing is reconnaissance in the Air Force. It is all about finding America's enemies, you know, so that the rest of the force, the joint force, can deal with them. But we are the center of excellence for everything that goes on in that community. We're on the forefront of technological development and employment. It's eye-watering when you get up there to see it. But we're also we have the 940th Air Refueling Wing, which is a reserve unit.
Okay.
So a lot of native Californians that work there work part-time for the Air Force. The Air National Guard is there, so we have all the components there. Mm-hmm. We have a number of tenant units from across the Air Force, so it is really kind of a composite look what the Air Force is in Northern California and across the country, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in our region, you guys really affect the economy, right? You provide a lot of jobs, good jobs. Jobs, and they after they get out of the military, they go somewhere. So I'm wondering how you guys affect the economy, not only, you know, with your existing teammates and your purchasing power and so on, but then also what happens when these people get out of the Air Force?
That's a great point, Mark. We're talking on the order of $65 million a year into the local economy.
Wow.
Just from the activity at Beale Air Force Base. There's, you know, like you said, 7,000 airmen, and I include civilian contractors, active duty, reserve guard airmen. There's 25,000 retirees that rely on Beale for health care, for the other services that are offered to veterans. And the biggest thing, when you mentioned veterans, our role is it is fundamental to taking care of airmen in our case, but you can say that any service member is veteran care. When they get in the service, we ask them to do some incredible things that will change the course of their life. And it doesn't matter if they serve a couple of years or they serve 40 years. That will affect them the rest of their life. So they have to know that when their service is over, that we're going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. So the local community, and if you call it local, I'm talking California,
right,
in this case, is absolutely essential to our ability to provide that care. So we know what's out there, what's available to them, what can we do for them to ease that transition into civilian life, mm-hmm, and make them the best prepared. So from my perspective, that reaching out to the local community to assess what resources are there, and vice versa, them communicating to us what's available, is absolutely critical.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering about that communication. So we obviously, if we want to work with Beale or know more about, say, I do have a charitable organization, Allegiant Giving, the Allegiant Battle for Veterans, we don't reach out directly to you. Obviously, I have a radio program. Here I am. I got you. But like, but the rest of the world, like, how do people really engage with Beale? Is there a central point of contact over there? How does that work?
If you want to get down to brass tacks, if you go on our Facebook page and find the phone number, call us, and we will hook you up with the right people. But from a larger perspective, we have organizations on base, Veterans Affairs organizations, our Airmen and Family Readiness Center. They have connections, and they have the ability to reach out to the veterans organizations across California and across the United States to link up folks with the care or the services they need as veterans, both folks serving and folks that have served. You can call any number on Beale, and we'll get you hooked up with the right people. But we do have those organizations there that do that coordination effort. So it's just a matter of picking up the phone.
You know, we talk about, you know, kind of jokingly about what do you do on Veterans Day, and you're going hunting, which is cool. Veterans and the celebration of veterans, you know, I think about the family members and the people who respect you guys so much. And talk to us about what the average family at Beale is going to do on Veterans Day. Are they working? Do you guys get days off? How does that work on a holiday? The rest of the days, you know, us civilian guys, we're taking days off. I'm not, but a lot of people take a day off on Veterans Day. You happen to be doing it this year, but most of the people are working, right? I mean, you're protecting our country.
There's a mix. I mean, there's time off.
Okay.
You know, we have folks deployed around the world. Any given time, I have 1,000 or so airmen off doing the mission around the world. And obviously, they may not get the time off then, but, you know, we'll make it up to them at other times. And then there's the folks at Beale that it'll get quiet up there. It's Veterans Day. It's time to unwind and relax a little bit, spend time with the family, because, you know, as you know, the family unit is absolutely critical to taking care of a service member as well. Mm-hmm. And you gotta build that time back in when you can. So, Beale will be a little bit quieter, and folks will relax and unwind a little bit.
So part of your job is sort of the operations of Beale, and then you've got stuff all over the world that's happening that you probably – is there anything that we might not know about operations that's not classified that we should know about, how you're surveilling these people?
Right. So reconnaissance is collecting information, right, so we can make decisions on how to handle situations. 24/7, 365, there is a Beale airman on the watch. Whether it's in a ground station at Beale controlling a remotely piloted aircraft half a world away, or a U-2 pilot over Afghanistan. As we speak right now, there's a U-2 pilot over Afghanistan, above 70,000 feet, in a pressure suit, flying that jet and picking up information and sending it to the folks that need it. That is happening every single day, every single minute. And I think if you stop to think about that, that's incredible. But they love doing it. We love that that's our mission and that we're part of it. And you, I go back to what do I want the local community to know? That's what I want them to know, that these airmen are out there busting their butts every day. So any of the support we can get, you know, from anybody around here is absolutely critical.
That's amazing what you do. And I'm wondering about a guy in that kind of leadership position, the amount of responsibility, the amount of weight on your shoulders to know that there are people right now in harm's way. You've got some of them that are watching from right down the street, and then you've got people who could get shot down. And the amount of weight that puts on you. I mean, what emotion goes in through you as you think about the magnitude and the danger of what's on your shoulders?
So, you know, there's always a little bit of background worry that you think about it. But I had somebody ask me a couple of weeks ago, what keeps you up at night? I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, I
have so much faith and trust in the training and their ability to operate that it mitigates a lot of that risk or that fear of something bad happening. I know they're up there actually. I know they're doing a great job. The one thing that's in my control, though, is to take care of them and their family and provide them the tools, the resources, and everything that they need to thrive, right? Mm-hmm. So those things that are in my control, we do the best we can to make sure that airman is taken care of so that when they're out there doing the mission, they don't have to worry about anything else. They can concentrate on that. They're focused on that. That lowers the risk. And that's, you know, that's like a chain. You just take care of the things you can, and everything else will fall into place.
I also think about the families, right? You have your wife here. She's here with you at this moment. The people that worry about their spouses or their loved ones. For me, it was my son when he was deployed.
Mm-hmm.
A message to them. What do you want them to – how do you console them? How do you make them understand the importance of the mission? Or what do you do in terms of like, communicating the message throughout the community, especially to the families?
Yeah, so I grew up in a military family. My father served in the Air Force. I have two uncles, grandfathers. My wife's a veteran. My brother is currently serving. He's in the Air Force as well. He's on a one-year deployment to Korea. You know, so I've been around it my whole life, and I understand the anxiety that comes along with it. And a lot of that anxiety is born of a lack of communication, right? Not understanding where they're at, what they're doing, how they're contributing, you know, to national defense and to defending freedom. And I found that if you can communicate with those folks, let them know as much as you can and know that, and let them know that you're always there or somebody is always there for them, it means the world. And that will mitigate a lot of those problems and a lot of those issues that come from not communicating those things. Yeah. So communication, I always say it's the weakest link.
Yeah.
And it fails so often. So the more you can get after that, the better off you're going
to
be.
And I think, you know, this is an entrepreneurial radio show, and I try to be a person in our community that ties the link back from what you do, what you all do in the military, back to entrepreneurship, right? Because of you, we have a free enterprise system that we have the ability to go out and, you know, do whatever we want in our lives. And I'm always trying to draw that dotted line back to the small business guy. And, you know, if it wasn't for people that were out fighting for our country, that we wouldn't have these opportunities to, I don't know, build, have a radio show, build security camera companies. I wouldn't even have that if it wasn't for guys like you.
Well, so. And it goes both ways. You'll hear a lot of talk of innovation right now, right? And the same is true in the Air Force. We rely, and we're becoming more reliant on the small business, the local community, and in the local community to work through solutions we have on a smaller scale without having to go through the giant defense acquisition and testing process.
And
we found that the local business can move. They're agile. They're quick. They have great ideas, and we are working on leveraging that as much as we can.
I love it. Well, okay, so the final question, I guess, I won't say this is my final question. I always think of one more thing to ask, but wondering, so there's people that should not be entrepreneurs, right? There's people out there, they just aren't built for entrepreneurship. It's risky in its own way. There's a lot of sacrifice. Who should not be a member of the U.S. military? Who should not even think about it?
Well, good question, Mark. That's a tough one.
I was trying to stump somebody.
I tell you what, this is what I tell folks at Beale. If you're interested in something, if you want to do it, try it, right? You always give it a shot. It might not be for you. It might not work out the way you thought it would. But when you hit that point that it's not going the way you thought it would, or you need to take a different direction, don't be afraid to confront that.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's the military and it's not working out, then maybe it's time to do something else, you know, and we'll help, you know, in our case, we'll help you get through that. We'll figure something out, but don't be happy with the status quo. Don't live with that, you know, that it's not a final, you're not at the end. Yeah. Go try something new. Do something different. Go in a different direction, and we'll work through that together.
Yeah. Don't be happy with the status quo. I love that. Colonel Andrew Clark, commander of Beale Air Force Base, thank you for what you do. Happy Veterans Day. I hope you I hope you kill something on your hunting trip. And we really appreciate everything that you do for our community and for our country.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having us
out. Thank you.
If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe. Feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better. And let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.